Good afternoon. Today is Monday, January the 19th, 19th day of the new year. Happy Martin Luther King's birthday, everybody. Joining us this afternoon is the Bank Dude, Mr. Dalby.
And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you, Brian.
Yeah. I think I like being with you, too.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
And to you and everybody. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about what numbers that were released from 2014. Sometimes, you know, we've talked a little bit here in our area about housing prices, housing values. I think I've referenced a couple of times that San Francisco was celebrating that the housing value in San Francisco went back up over $1 million, and everybody's really excited. And
unless you're buying a house in San Francisco.
Yes, indeed. So we'll talk about some of that, the real estate and some of the indicators that are out there when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the CEO, the founding CEO, at least if you believe the County Office of Ed spots.
There you go.
The founding CEO of Redwood Capital, John Dalby. Interesting that you said that. It kind of implies like there's another CEO.
A lot of, you know, it's interesting. We've been around long enough now, over almost 11 years, and a lot of people don't realize that we're such a young bank, that we've only been around.
Oh, or that the crew is the same?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, you think about it, turnover and things of that nature in communities, you know, people moving and people selling. Yeah. Let's get our quote so we can talk
Go
more
ahead.
Philosophically.
So, Brian, what is the quote of the
this
day?
This is selected by same guy, Napoleon, sometime between 1769, well, probably 1770. I don't think he came out talking. And 1821, quote, "The best way to keep one's word is not to give it." I still like the Emerson quote, though.
Which, once you read the Emerson quote.
Sometimes a scream is better than a thesis. That, yeah, no kidding.
Much easier to write.
Yeah, the research is, I don't know, the research could be more painful, too. Oh, John, one of the categories that's often used as a barometer of the health of a country, a state, a community, are either housing starts or median price of homes. A couple weeks ago, I stumbled on something that indicated that San Francisco, the housing median price had gone back up the value of over $1 million, and it had gone down as low as $700,000. Okay.
What a bargain.
Celebrate. Doesn't seem to be happening anywhere else in the state at this point. What about in our area? One, is housing a key component? Is it a fair barometer? Is it a canary on the economic health of our area? Whether it's sales, starts, median price, whatever element within the real estate community you want to look at, is that a good barometer for us in Humboldt and Del Norte County?
Well, it's really difficult. Median price is an interesting statistic because it's really based on what's selling as much as what real estate values are. So it's not an accurate indicator that values have gone up or gone down. Because if you have more people buying first-time home buyer, lower priced homes, well, your median is going to drop down, even though maybe the value of an individual home has gone up. So the first thing you understand is that number is tainted by who is buying, but it is an indicator of who is buying.
One of a couple.
Correct.
Okay.
So the other thing you can look at is then the volume of how many homes have sold. And that's pretty easy to track, and it's pretty easy to look at. when the volume goes up of the number of houses that are selling, you know, that's probably the best indicator that people are entering the market again, and that we could see the possibility of rising home prices, which is not always good.
Well, and talking to a couple of guys in the contractor development community, they talk about trying to get in homes finished out in that 175 to 2.25 range. That's kind of the entry level, which still floors me. But okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I flash back as you're flashing back now too. But that's kind of the entry level, 150, 175, somewhere in there, and that's an area that a number of them are focusing on now, rather than building the next home up. That's the area where the sweet spot is in the market at this point too. So I would think that could flavor things as well.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of activity in first-time home buyers, and then we've seen some activity in higher-end homes. But generally, those are people that are upgrading or have moved into the area and have taken a significant position here. Generally, with the university or a doctor or something like that.
Didn't mention government, huh?
No,
yeah. I didn't. Significant in government, they're just not mixing right now. Yeah, okay. So what in real estate, what do you focus on? If you have the reports in front of you, either national or local, what number do you look at first?
Well, we do look at the median income or the median price of homes as a general indicator of, are things trending up or down. But for the most part, we look at the data. We get some more finite data when we get appraisals on homes.
So you kind of look loans item by item rather than...
So we get an indication of whether things are going up or down based on what we're seeing appraisals come in at.
So will you look at those that are trying to finance with you, or will you talk to your buddies, the appraisers, and get a sense of what's going on?
No, we're looking at what we get, our own, the appraisals that come through our institution.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll continue with more from John Dalby.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the Bank Dude. John, if median price is one of the areas that you're looking at and appraisals are another, how do you measure demand? Is it just poundage of people trying to get can it be as simple as that?
Well, you look at two things, the number of listings that there are for homes. So if there's a very high inventory of homes listed for sale, then you know that there's more supply than demand. As the number of listings go down, then you know that demand is exceeding supply. So it's probably the easiest way to look at it is simply what is the inventory that's out there. And then you can look at the makeup of the inventory. What is, for instance, higher-end homes certainly have not regained their value as a first-time home buyer. And that's why you're seeing contractors building, at that lower end, because that is where they've seen the appreciation come back. First-time home buyer or first-time houses in that range have come back. But the high-end stuff is still a bargain.
What about unimproved property? Do you look at property value and what an empty lot or let's say a lot with a blader on it that's just going to get knocked down and it's the property that is being purchased. Does that factor in there at all?
That's a real challenge to even appraise empty lots at this point in time. One, because there's so many of them that are available that are not selling. So we're not seeing a whole lot of indicators that would tell us anything really positive is happening on that. Depending on, you know, of course, there's pockets, you know, throughout the county where lots are starting to sell. But we are seeing activity. We are seeing construction happen again. It's not as big as it used to be, but we are seeing some homes being constructed.
Some signs of life?
Yeah.
Starting to happen. So as you look at this cumulatively, okay, you know where 14 was. What does 15 look like? What sense do you have? What outside indicators? What trends are you seeing?
Mortgage rates are down, so that's a positive. Gas prices. That really changes the amount of discretionary income a family has.
Can you predicate things on the fluctuating prices of
that's
the
a gas problem. Pump? They came down really fast. It means they could go up very, very quickly. But it certainly seems as if the reasons that have driven gas prices and oil prices down, you know, are probably longer term. This is because we have now the capacity to produce larger volumes of oil within the U.S., and so it's really driven down, you know, the price of oil.
I'm wondering if the Keystone Pipeline is approved, does that take it down another plateau? Or does it keep where we are and then lock it in for a longer period? So it becomes more stable, and then people do have the opportunity to pay $2, well, in theory, $2 a gallon, even here in Humboldt County. So that those outside cost pressures are something that factor into this also.
Absolutely. You're going to see more discretionary income. You're going to see people change their buying habits when it comes to automobiles. You know, do they start buying bigger rigs again? You know, what happens to hybrid and electric car sales? Does this change, you know, solar panels and all kinds of different things?
I'm not seeing a lot of Teslas out there right now anyway, so that seems doesn't it?
I haven't verified this, but somebody told me that Tesla stock had dropped substantially as oil prices had dropped.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. It would make sense. So with real estate as one of those key components, how does Humboldt County look right now?
Well, the Federal Reserve released some interesting statistics regarding Humboldt County demographically. So for instance, when you take a look at the education rates in Humboldt County, with the exception of Arcata, we fall far below that of the rest of the state. And, you know, that's concerning on a number of levels. But anytime, you know, let me preface this. Anytime you look at a comparison of Humboldt County to the rest of the state or even the rest of the nation, you have to factor in two things. You have a significant influence on the demographics and the economy in Arcata because of the university, and you have a very significant underground economy because of the growing and selling of marijuana. So as you look at some of these statistics, you kind of scratch your head and go, how can this be? And then you have to kind of factor in the impact of those things. And this was interesting. 10% of the county population has served in the military, as opposed to 7% in the rest of California.
Well, you know, that logically you could argue that pretty straightforward. There are not that many jobs available locally, so that's a real viable option. And also, as you mentioned, with the education, you know, if college isn't where you're headed, here's a pretty good option that is a real strong career path.
16% of Humboldt County residents are on some sort of disability, which is 60% greater than the rest of the state.
We'll ponder that one during the break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America?
You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby from Redwood Capital. John, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the demographics and the, I don't know if they'd be anomalies, but how about the undue concentration in certain areas of different population? You mentioned about the educational model that, you know, obviously the Arcata, McKinleyville area is going to be a little bit stronger because that's where the college kids live and those who are staff at the college, the university.
Yeah, they have higher levels of education, but actually lower levels of income.
Of employment, yeah.
Right.
Which would make sense. I mean, if you're doing a part-time hamburger flipping job on the side, you know, and going to school, you know, that was the argument that was there 20 or 30 years ago when one of the past city managers tried to have Arcata declared as blight. Because of the poverty level being so low.
Right.
Not factoring in that part-time employment. It was just everybody treated the same. So that feels right, so to speak.
And interestingly enough, the highest level of education, the lowest level of unemployment, and the highest level of income is in the Cutton area. I found that interesting.
Well, you know, if education is a trigger for home purchasing, Cutton, Ridgewood, Winship, now, and Washington. I mean, it's all makes sense. And it's a little bit warmer. And you don't have some of the cultural challenges that Eureka proper has.
46% of those in Arcata have a bachelor's degree.
46% of adults over 18?
Humboldt County is 26% overall.
So almost twice. Well, okay, that reinforces what you were referencing earlier.
Rio Dell, 13% have a bachelor's degree.
Well, you know, the mill economy, right?
And then
we can still say mills around here, can't we? I mean, there's still two or three of them.
Yeah, okay. I think there's more than one, but
yeah,
barely.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think there's two. Actually, there's more than that. Depends on how you define a mill, but you know, there's some manufacturing, so I can think of four right offhand. But
so you got Schmidbauer and Sierra Pacific, and
those are the
Humboldt Redwood
still doing logs.
Yeah, log operations. Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it's really interesting numbers as you start drilling down on this.
Well, let me ask another question. Since you're down into the zip codes, or the equivalent of that. Does that matter? I mean, I've seen some information over the years that shows, yeah, there are wild swings. I mean, we know it intuitively. You drive Fortuna, it's a different experience than driving Garberville, and it's a different experience than driving Trinidad. You know it. You can sense it, you can see it, you can feel it. But rarely does Humboldt County get broken out.
What do you mean by broken out? I'm sorry.
Eureka versus Arcata.
Okay.
Arcata versus Fortuna,
right.
Myers Flat versus Red Crest. I mean, there are differences. You can see them, but nobody tends to look that granularly at this stuff. They'll just say Humboldt County.
And that's what's interesting about this study is it does break these things down and give you a look at the various communities and you know what some of those differences are.
So, what's the most exciting thing that you see in that?
Well, in Eureka, we have unemployment is at 9%.
That's exciting.
That's actually, you know, that's one of the highlights.
Okay. I talked with Ryan Sundberg was in.
Right.
And we were talking about employment and unemployment figures and how malleable they are depending on who the source is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you say 9%. Well, does that mean that there's another 5% that aren't looking anymore?
It's not.
Versus the numbers of employed.
Is it an unemployment rate or is it the real unemployment rate?
Yeah.
I don't know. It isn't specific to that. but it does say that 22% of Eurekans live in poverty, as opposed to 15% in the state, or in that poverty level. Let's see, I'm just kind of picking little things out here. We also have a high percentage of people living in mobile homes.
In Eureka?
Well, in the county.
Oh, in the county, in the okay. County.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you get a couple of the retirement facilities that are there, and then some of the more rural areas. Yeah, that would... I bet you don't find that many of them in L.A. County or in San Francisco County, right. A trailer park.
And then, of course, this won't surprise you. Arcata has the highest number of renters as a percentage. I think that's highly influenced by the...
Yeah. Probably has the highest number of apartment buildings, too.
Yeah. So these are some interesting things.
One of the things that I would be curious to find out, and this document probably would not reflect that, but with the grow homes that are so prevalent around the Bay Area, and I suppose down south too, in the rural parts of the county, when legalization occurs.
And when you say the Bay Area, you're talking about the Humboldt Bay Area.
Yeah, okay, not okay. Coos Bay, not San Francisco, no.
Okay.
No. Our Bay, yeah.
So what was your question again? I'm sorry.
With the number of grow homes that there are currently with legalization, if all of a sudden the median value of home sales goes down 30%, say, 40%, is that necessarily a bad thing? Or could it be a really positive thing?
Well, you know, one is, as this study reflects, is in Humboldt County, we pay a higher percentage of our income for housing, especially renters do. And that's because our housing costs, or the price of a home in comparison to our income, is significantly, you know, higher. You know, I mean, it's just a reflection.
And the income's less, so there's a compression, yeah.
Correct. And so if you look at the income level of the average income spread across Humboldt County, our housing prices should be substantially lower than they are. So if you ask,
so there's an artificial,
is it good or bad? You know, for housing prices to come down certainly would allow more people to purchase homes, so that there's a positive there. The problem is you have to compare the price of those homes to the cost of new construction. So once the price of housing drops below the ability to construct that same house at that price, you're going to see construction falter, because you can't afford to build a new house. And, you know, that would be a negative. So there's positives and negatives here. For an institution, we certainly don't want to see our collateral values go down. Right. That would be a negative.
Well, I'm thinking,
but certainly that you could see some stimulation if, you know, there's a balance there.
Well, yeah, and then you've got the nursery outlets and the home vendors, you know, the floor guys, the ceiling guys, the roof guys, the wall guys, the paint, you know, how to balance it, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what you're going to see if housing prices drop substantially is most of those guys are going to have to concentrate on remodels and rehabs as opposed to new construction.
Which I know they love. Let me inherit somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, 3:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. John, obviously real estate isn't the only thing that's out there. It's an easier one probably to track than pretty darn near anything. You know, sales tax, yeah, okay, but then you get leakage. And that's kind of a tough one to measure, particularly as more and more folks are going internet. Okay. What else do you look at as far as the economic viability of our area?
Well, what's really important to us is the number of living wage jobs that, you know, that has been on the decline.
Definition of living wage is?
Well, it generally runs, which is why we saw the Fair Wage Act, you know, even though it fell, you know, the objective there was to bring you back to a living wage. Problem being is that we've removed the living wage jobs, and now we're trying to make non-living wage jobs living wage. And you just don't have the productivity or the economic base to do that. So it's treating a symptom rather than the problem. The problem is we've eliminated our natural resource jobs, you know, in timber, lumber, gravel,
fishing, ag, legal.
Legal ag. You know, those jobs, you know, we're seeing disappear, some of them by technology, because of our transportation issues. I mean, we don't have an STAA-approved highway into Humboldt County yet. Hopefully when they get the Buckhorn done, we'll at least be able to bring full-size trucks in from the east. No rail, limited air, so your transportation costs are higher, makes manufacturing more challenging. So, you know, we really, if there's any one thing I'm looking at, it's the number of living wage jobs.
Sounds like a lot of that is based on viable infrastructure.
You would need to either open up the forests and start cutting timber here again. We have the highest forestry standards in the world. This would be the ideal place.
As long as there's demand for the wood product.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the fishing industry, I don't know enough about what's really happening out there, whether or not, the environment for fishing, you know, the number of fish and all of that, you know, I'm not even going to pretend to be an expert in that realm.
I know, but, you know how to hook a willow with a fly real easy.
There you go.
Yeah, so there is some expertise there. Don't discount yourself too hard.
Yeah. But yeah, that, if there's any one thing that I could hope for the county, it would be to increase the number of living wage jobs.
And obviously that's going to be a trend instead of an on-off switch.
Correct. But right now, with our current environment, it's very, very difficult to bring in any industry that would provide those. So we do need to see some changes in both infrastructure and you know, political will.
Attitudinal and cultural
if you want to attract businesses, any business to a place in California, you gotta be doing something different.
Or you go to another part of California and attract them. That would be that fishing hook thing again.
There you go.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always good to see you, Brian.
We've been talking shop with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug someone you love, see you tomorrow.